Guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We're glad you're here. And we are in almost to late March. We're getting close to spring here.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Oh man, I was driving back from Pennsylvania this weekend. I just got back from speaking in Pennsylvania, and it was yesterday. And I don't know what the weather was like here in Anderson, Indiana, but man, when I was coming back, I was on the phone and I was like, you know, talking to Stacy, and I said, "This is nuts." I said, "It was 50 degrees like 20 minutes ago. It's 36 and it's snowing hard. I can't hardly see anything." And I would go 10 more miles, temperature go up to 44, sunny. All of a sudden, here comes the ice and the snow back down into the 30s.
Wow.
Weird. And we had those tornadoes, you know, go through here this past week, too. They went through not far from Muncie, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Winchester had them.
Winchester, yep.
Yep. I know where I stayed close to Mansfield, Ohio, on Friday night, headed to Pennsylvania. They had one go through there as well. It made the national news. Weird.
It's crazy.
Well, what'd you do over the weekend?
Well, Saturday, I rode my bike a little bit. My goal is to hit 1,000 miles into this year, so I need to just give you updates so you can, maybe everyone else can help push me along on that, but it's, you know, a tough one, man.
I know runners, and I just am not a runner. You know, I got up and I ran around the block 3 times this morning, and then I kicked the block back under the bed.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's exactly it. Hey, have you ever been to a Buc-ee's?
I've heard of a Buc-ee's. What is it?
It is the biggest gas station you've ever seen in your life.
Where?
This one I went to yesterday. I decided to drive down to Tennessee just to go down there and came back. And this one was on the way. It was in the state of Kentucky, in Richmond, Kentucky, I think, area.
Okay.
But there's like 150 gas pumps and...
Holy smokes.
Yeah, and then a humongous store with like a big full-service kitchen staffs in there. And yeah, I guess they're known for brisket sandwiches and stuff. Like,
wow.
It's quite a thing. So if any of you out there have been to a Buc-ee's, give a shout-out to Brent on social media.
Yeah.
Encouraging him to go to a Buc-ee's. It's,
I would think it would be like in Texas or something. You know, everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys here at the office said, "Buc-ee's, what do they sell, like beaver pelts and leather goods?" It's like,
right.
Oh, that's a good guess though, man.
You know, neat. Some of the gas stations, I was on that bear hunt I did in an earlier season episode. There were some places up there you go in and they got like full size, you know, moose mounts, you know, the whole body when you walk in there, you know, the shoulder 7 feet tall, you know, at the top of the shoulder. I mean, they're just massive.
That's incredible.
1,400 pounds. Crazy.
It's like going to Cabela's.
Oh, well, you know, I was just speaking for a sportsman's banquet in Pennsylvania this past weekend. And when you go in there, you know, these guys that are putting these things on, I mean, they're doing it up. I mean, some of the guys that have been doing these for a while, you can tell because they get the men involved, which is so cool because a lot of the outdoorsmen, they'll have, you know, fish mounts or a cougar or, you know, deer or bear or turkey or whatever, and they bring them all in and they just decorate up the entire, you know, whether it's the sanctuary or whether it's their gymnasium or, you know, whatever wherever the sporting event's being held like that. And it just draws the guys in. You know, I am so blessed to be able to speak for so many of these sportsmen's dinners. Sometimes they call them like beast feasts or wild game dinners. But it just taps into the adventure that guys love. You know, I know not all men love that kind of stuff, but make no mistake, all men love adventure. You might not watch hunting shows, but I guarantee you, if you come across something like, you know, remember the old Wild Kingdom?
Oh, yeah.
Marlon Perkins and Jim. And I mean, that's what I grew up on watching. And it wasn't a hunting show. It was an outdoor show. I mean, it's like David Attenborough's, you know, doing his, you know, the Animal Planet stuff.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It wakes us up. And that's what I get a chance to do a lot of these things for. And that's the other thing. Let me just say kind of quick before I get this out of the way. If you do those or you're not doing them, first of all, I want to encourage you to maybe get involved in doing it because it's one of the best ways, probably the best way I know, of reaching the men from your community. And if you're trying to, you know, build your men's group or trying to get more families to your church, you cannot lose doing these game dinners like this because guys want to be involved. You know, tap into that. You can, I was going to say, if you want to go to the booking stuff with that, you can go to my unleash.men website. And there's a place in there you can reach out to me and find out. Because, again, I absolutely love doing these. And something that, you know, we've talked about, we want to create Unleashed chapters all across the world. And, Eric, did you say we had some listeners this time coming from some new places?
Yeah, so our in the USA most listener group was, oh, my gosh, all right, hang on. It was in Arizona, begins with an A, Aguila, Arizona.
Something like that. I remember you telling me.
And international-wise, India. And it doesn't list the city. It just says India, N-A. So I looked it on the heat map. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. But
that's cool.
They've surpassed our Amsterdam listener and South Africa. They're South Africa and Amsterdam now are tied.
This is the most amazing thing, that we're sitting here, you know, just kind of recording this stuff. And when this is going to go out, you know, which is going to go out tonight, you know, this is really cool that we've got people all over the world. And, you know, it's really neat. I was at, when I spoke for this game dinner, I went to lunch with some of the guys from their men's ministry before the event. And they're all listening to the podcast. They're just going, man, we're loving this stuff. Matter of fact, we're even using it for some of our small group stuff. And here's something I want to tell you. We were just trying to figure this out because we have guys now all over the world listening to this. And they're going, these are so rich in content. And so one of the things I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start doing some little videos after the main video or the audio, whatever you're getting here. So you can have some things to process with your men's group or for yourself. So you can use these. You know, I'll put the question down, maybe pause on there, let you guys process it. Then you can go on to the next question. But that'll be through our Unleashed Plus. You know, this is free, what you're listening to. But if you want to be under the subscribers, there's all kinds of stuff you can get. We do prize giveaways, and you can get a free download of my book, which I've got with me. I'm going to read something out of it today called Into the Wilds. You know, I've got The Roar Within, but the audio book on the Into the Wilds is free for those guys that get the subscription to Unleashed Plus. But again, you can go the same place. You can go to unleashed.men, and you can find the subscription for the Unleashed Plus.
And for you guys that are winning on these prizes for Unleashed Plus, put pictures up and tag Brent on social. I don't have Facebook, but tag Brent, man. Like, let's, you know, we really are giving this stuff away, and it would be, you know, be kind of cool.
You know, what's cool is the guy that won a prize, I spoke a couple weeks ago, and it was at the beginning of the month when the new prize giveaway was happening, and his name was Trevor Bond. Trevor, hey, I know you're listening to this, and I had this letter, and here's a bookmark, and I thought, just now, I was like, this is what we get from some of these guys. He goes, man, I'm loving the Unleashed, and he signed up for Unleashed Plus as well. He works with the music and their men's ministry up there, but he says, dear Brent, thank you for speaking. And then he names the name of his place. What was Rolling Hills Banquet and Chili Cook-Off? I don't think there's anything breaking confidence there. And he says, even before you came to Platteville, I could see God at work through your ministry. Your podcast has greatly influenced my own approach to our men's ministry and my approach to mentoring. In my personal life, your advice is helping point me towards Christ. My conversations with men after the event has indicated that you have struck a chord in the hearts of those who heard you speak. Your practical approach and the use of story truly opens up men to the good news. And then he just, you know, goes on a little bit more and says thanks. And that, there's nothing more encouraging to me than to hearing from you guys. You know, what's happening in your life? When you write to us and you let us know how some of these things are changing or what you'd like to hear things about. And Eric, what's the email on that we go to when we want someone to send us in an email and kind of tell us what was going on? Was it podcast?
podcast@unleash.men.
Yeah.
And those emails come to Brent and I both.
Yeah. Is it, I'm just, because I'm not in front of it, podcast or podcasts?
Ooh, yeah, I don't think there's the S.
I think it's just podcast at unleash.men. So yeah. Let us hear your stories. You know, what touched you and some things maybe we can even talk about on here that you guys want to know more about. That's what we want to do is whatever you're needing, we want to be able to kind of help fill that void and be here however we can.
And
so,
then if any of you guys are going to bobcat hunt now that's apparently going to be legal in Indiana.
Oh, it is.
Let us know. Yep.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see them very often. Now, you get them on game camera pictures because they're sly. And they can get pretty big. I mean, they'll take down some small deer, too.
I need a couple around the house. Squirrels are attacking my car.
So we have this little mini golden doodle. And I think I've said this before. A guy's going, you got a golden doodle? That's not a hunting dog. And I said, yeah, it is. It's the dog that keeps my wife happy while I go hunting.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
But we got squirrels. And, man, they're mean. They torture that dog. She sits at the back door just shaking, waiting to go out, you know, and chase these squirrels in the backyard. It's funny.
Yeah, well, they're eating my car. This is the third time.
Yeah. You sure this wasn't like a squirrel from Chernobyl or something? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like $500 each time too. They're chewing on wiring harnesses and.
Oh, they get up underneath and get up in there. Wow, I've never noticed that because we have a lot of squirrels.
Yeah, They just one vehicle we have, they attack it.
Wow.
Yeah, if any of you guys have a suggestion on how to combat this, please, please let us know, because
it's a squirrel epidemic.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't heard about that yet. That's interesting. But these squirrels, hunting, some guys, they're squirrel hunters. I don't relate to that much. When I'm going to be hunting something, I'm not like thinking about something that's going to put like a little tiny, this much meat on the plate. I want, the big stuff. I want some big old back straps or, got their flipping burgers on the grill, whether it's elk steaks or caribou or whitetail or whatever bear. But these game dinners, like we were talking about, you do have squirrel hunters. They're coming in. They just love the outdoors. I had a guy who had behind my booth, he had put up a whole thing of turkey beards. He had like shotgun shells, and he put the beard up inside the shell, and he had a big board, and he had all these beards hanging off these, and they're actually the end of the shotgun shells where they were hanging around there too. Really creative. Some of these guys aren't as big into the bigger game. Some guys are just like, I hunt turkeys. I was on the Christian Outdoors podcast here last month, episode, I think it was 221 of their episode. And we were talking, and I said, my favorite thing to hunt is whitetails. I absolutely am passionate about whitetails. And he said, my thing's turkeys. He said, that's where I, because it's so interactive. But every guy is different with what they love. But kind of bringing this back full circle now, guys love adventure. And, in your church, if you're not doing something to tap into that, I want to encourage you to do it, because you want to grow your men's group, you want to grow your church. You got to kind of tap into that part of them, that they love that stuff. So I was speaking it was Liona Bible Church just this weekend. I was in Pennsylvania. And again, we were talking about the weather being crazy. It was just the weirdest stuff. But they had taken like 6-7 years or something off of doing a game dinner, and they were worried about, maybe even having 60-70 guys show up. Well, it was about 200 guys showed up, and they had to set up extra tables, and they were worried about running out of food. Well, why? It's because they tapped back into the passions of these guys in their community. And many times, these are the guys that would never darken the door of a church. But when they find out something like this is going to happen, it's like, now you're speaking my language. And they come. And what's great is a lot of times when a church will bring me in to speak for a sportsman's banquet like this, they'll keep me over for Sunday morning, because they know a lot of those guys that came on Saturday night probably don't have a home church or looking for a place. And on Sunday morning, they have a chance to come back, and maybe they feel a little safer, a little more comfortable as they're kind of getting acclimated to the people around there and stuff. So anyhow, and if you want to get more information about that, just go to unleash.men and you can see some of the stuff like that I speak on. I think there's actually some videos on there too of speaking at some of these events. So you kind of get a feel for the flavor and maybe even some of the backdrop in some of these videos. How do you decorate? So you can ask me any questions about that kind of stuff, because I absolutely love doing men's ministry, especially through the venue of the outdoors. But this was a fun trip. Stacy, thank you for praying for her. She had that surgery here 2 weeks ago, but she was not well enough yet to be able to travel long distance. So our 14-year-old Emma went along on this trip, and I've mentioned her before on here, but what was really cool was I got to see into her heart a little bit, because before the event started, they have all the prize giveaways they're doing at these sportsman's dinners. They have them all lined up so you can like take these tickets and put them in a bucket, then maybe you'll win that prize or whatever. And she had 10 tickets. I never put my name in these drawings as a speaker, because I think it would look rigged or something, like if I won. But they gave her, and they said, no, you take those tickets and put them in whatever you want. Well, she knew that I needed a field point target, because mine was getting bad. And there was one big target down on the end, but I didn't know she even thought about that. So when the prize drawing comes, the second prize drawn, she wins this thing. And she's all excited. And I said, do you have other tickets and other baskets? Can you still win something else? She said, no. I put all 10 tickets in that one because I knew you needed a target. Sometimes, we look at our kids and you're going, what were you thinking? And then there's times you're like, what were you thinking? I just saw a part of your heart. And I always talk about, the impact, men, that we have on our kids. You might not see it. Sometimes we can get so frustrated. They haven't taken out the trash. They haven't done their homework, or they talk back. But, man, in those moments, encouraging them that, yeah, you made a mistake, and there might be a consequence for that, but that doesn't identify who you are. I know the real you, and I believe in you. And it gave me a beautiful opportunity to speak into her. And as soon as I got home, I went to Stacy. I said, let me tell you what Emma did. She was like, oh my word. In those moments, to be able to encourage her heart to keep moving in that direction, that's a big responsibility, you know, as men, as fathers that we have. And I said this, you know, it's like we have a sword that God's given us, guys, and we can either use that to protect and defend our families, or we can use it to tear them down. You know, we use shame or fear or whatever. I don't know anyone who's been changed by guilting, shaming, shunning, or judging. Nobody. But being able to get into the world and encourage them in who they are. But anyhow, you know, these events, they really do fill the bill with guys and the adventure. And one of my favorite parts is, you know, I always start off with some crazy story. And you've heard a lot of them on here. And I always get them on the edge of their seat and then bring them back down to that aha moment. Because you build trust. That's what the speakers at these events should be doing. They're building trust with their listener. You know, you don't get too religious for these guys because they're like going, okay, this was going to be a bait and switch. I knew it. Why did I even come? You've got to speak their language. You know, it's like the old Will Primos with his television show, you know, that whole speak the language, the podcast. You've got to be able to get into the world, know what's going to move them. And then slowly, as they begin to listen and respect you, you move them towards Christ. Because if they can trust you back here with the outdoor stuff that they're passionate about, and then you start talking about why you believe, why you chose to believe, how God's been faithful in your life, you can see it. They're searching. They're absolutely searching. And to be able to see it through your story. Story is one of the best gifts we've ever been given. That's why I love being able to write books like this and to be able to speak and do these podcasts, because it gets you, the listener gets drawn in. The other thing I love about these is these guys that love the outdoors, many times you'll see them coming in. They only connect during hunting season, and they have a chance to say, hey, man, we need to go fishing together sometime. Or maybe some of the guys that go to that church that know some of these guys that don't go there say, man, we'd love to have you come here. We'd love to have you be a part. It's just a way of making it a safe place, and I think that's really important, especially in the world we live in now. I don't know how they didn't do response cards this last week. Some churches do, some churches don't. I know in the last maybe 12 years of men and women, it's mostly men that come to the events, but you get both, that have received Christ that I know of through the response card. Sometimes they'll call me and tell me. I've seen almost 20,000 men give their life to Christ at the events. I don't think before I started doing these events full-time in around 2008 or 9, I had seen 20 people that I had been a part of leading to Christ in my entire life. And so to see the power in that, it's crazy. And how sometimes God will take my own fallenness, my own story, because I get vulnerable. I mean, there's no reason to try to hide and try to look good in order to be good, because they're used to seeing that in the Christian world. Like, they see a lot of people, they feel like they're hypocrites, they're trying to act the part, look the part, and they're going, yeah, well, can you tell me where your mistakes are too, so I can know that it's okay for me to be able to bring those things to God? Does he really care? Does he really forgive? Yeah, he does. And we need to stop putting ourselves on this pedestal and trying to look good for everybody else. I don't have a whole lot of respect for that. I've seen that. I grew up around a lot of that kind of stuff within some denominations, but Jesus didn't do that. He didn't have any sin, but what he did was he would walk up to people, get into their world that were incredibly sinful, like all of us, and he would tell them their story through the lens of grace. And it wasn't him telling them to be more moral. It was telling them that they will have everything they will ever need in him, in their Heavenly Father, that transformed them, that they were forgiven. You've got the woman at the well. You've got the woman caught in adultery. You've got the tax collector. You've got, you know, Peter, the anger issues, all these things. But he had a way of being able to remind them who he was. I mean, look at the thief on the cross. Did he get baptized? Now, I'm not saying don't get baptized. I am. I think it's important that we get baptized and we share our testimonies. But when he got to heaven, there wasn't this big question and answer thing. Well, did you get baptized? You know, did you say all the right words with the sinner's prayer, all these things? You know, today he was saying to Jesus, you know, to the other thief, he's saying, man, this guy did nothing wrong. And he's saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus tells him, surely you'll be with me in paradise. So we've got to get our hearts right. And when you have a right heart, when you know your identity, you don't have to hide all this stuff. I understand that you can feel ashamed, but there is a massive difference between shame and condemnation, or being guilty and being convicted. Those are good things, but not the shame and condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's one of the things, again, with these retreats, when you get to the end and you start helping people understand who God really is, you begin to see lives changed. I want to read something to you. I was going through, I didn't lose it. I still got the page up. I told you I got to stay over on Sunday morning and speak to the church. Really cool. The pastor of this church was from Australia, and it was like listening to the Croc Hunter, you know, when he was up there speaking that night before I was speaking. Kind of neat, especially with the environment, with all these, you know, these mounts around the room. But it reminded me, I wrote this in this book. It's, if you have Into the Wilds, it's actually, if you want to find where this is back on page 198. But I had spoken for a game dinner, I think it was in southeastern Pennsylvania, about a decade ago. And they asked me to come back and do their men's breakfast before the church service, which I was speaking for too. And so I did. And so they were just going to have me get up and do like a little 10-minute thing before they were going to break into their small groups, which he told me were going to be accountability groups. Now, you know, I think you got to be really careful. There's a big difference in holding someone accountable and holding them capable, or maybe it's just more the language, because sometimes it can feel like, in the questions you're being asked in those groups, like you're reporting to a parole officer because it doesn't feel safe. You feel like sometimes the facilitator is trying to get you to, you know, say all these things when he's not going first. So as leaders, guys, if you're leaders out there, I want to encourage you, share your stuff. You know, do it in a way that's going to be, it's going to be safe. It's not going to cause triggers for these guys, but they need to see that these ashes in our life, that God can make beautiful things out of that. And that's where they're going to find hope. So as I'm getting up there to speak to these guys, I look on this, like a music stand in front of me, and they had the accountability questions that they're getting ready to give to these little small group leaders. They're going to break into like 6-7 guys. And I just want to read to you what I saw as I'm getting ready to speak that really kind of threw me. Facilitator one, here's the questions. Have you inappropriately touched a woman since we last met? Well, that's a great way to start a conversation. Have you viewed pornography in any form since we last met? Have you had regular time of personal worship insofar as your travel schedule and the need for rest have allowed? Have you had regular intercessional prayer time insofar as your travel schedule and need has allowed? Are you giving more than you're receiving? Are the visible you and the real you consistent? Have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity in any way? Have you been faithful in sharing your faith this week? Have you begun each day with prayer? If so, for how long? Do you pray continuously? Do you save pennies? Does your penny jar weigh more than a book? For real, these are the questions. Did your driving set an example for others? Ooh, ouch. Have you lied to me? Okay, there's more. There's a lot more questions on here. I'm just going to go down with that and just kind of stop with that. But it's one thing to hold someone capable, but I would recommend that you have that band of brothers. I had one of my four band of brothers call me today, and he says, you're one of my band. And he says, I need to talk to you about something, because he knows it's safe. And I've used this phrase before. Imagine a place so safe that you can share the worst about yourself and actually be loved more, not less, for the telling of it. That's the way it needs to look, not sitting down and checking off all the boxes. Well, I looked good, I did good, so I must be good. No, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're righteous in him. Now, are you still going to sin? Yep, probably are. And there's going to be consequences, but that's because God loves you and he's moving you towards being more like him. But you didn't lose you're good enough. You're right. His righteousness that came from him because you sinned. And that's why a lot of guys, they're afraid to go to some of these events at churches, because they're afraid that, you know, whatever that sin was that they did, now they're not going to be good enough. Or what would everybody think about me? Or what would they be saying about me? And the beautiful thing is, when you finally understand your identity, you don't care what anybody says or thinks about you anymore. Now, you might struggle every now and then, but the Holy Spirit within you, when you get closer to him, he keeps reminding you, you're good enough will never come from what they think about you or how well you performed. It has everything to do with Christ being in you, and you have everything you'll ever need. And then we go, yeah, God, but what about this sin? He goes, what are you talking about? He's cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Grace. I said this the other morning, on Sunday morning. I said, grace always, always leads to obedience, or it's not grace. It's something else. Grace changes us in such a way that it leads us to want to do the right thing. So let me just kind of go down. I took a couple of notes here. I wanted to go back. And, you know, at this retreat, it was good because I was, or at this sportsman's dinner, I was back within probably about 10 minutes of where I used to be on staff at another church. And some of the guys from the old men's group that I used to lead there showed up to the event, and it was like old home week. You know, guys, when sometimes we don't see our buddies until it's, you know, hunting season or the first day of tryout season or something, and it's like time never passed when we see each other. I don't think women are so much like that, but guys, we maybe don't see a guy until, like, I have a friend that we go to the Indy 500 every year. We go to carb day, and then we go to the race, and we connect like there was no time in between. And so these guys, even though I hadn't seen some of these guys in well over a decade, and some of them 2 decades, it was just like we see each other and instantly, you know, it's not just the handshake, man. You know, you pull the guy and you give him a big hug, kind of look at him and go, it is so good to see you. And the next thing you know, you're telling stories. Remember when this happened? Remember when we did this as kids or whatever? And one of the guy that actually helped get me booked for this event, was in that men's group, who became a leader of some of the small groups that I was doing. And he gets up there to introduce me, and he starts off almost tears, and there were tears in his eyes. He said, our speaker tonight changed my life in some big ways. He says, I would not be the man I am today if it wasn't for him. And his name is Glenn. And love you, buddy. You had a big impact in my life too. And I am so proud of you. And to see you become the man that you are now, I sound like I'm in movie Braveheart. I'm so proud to see you become the man you are, right? But I've seen you be the tip of the spear and orchestrate things where a lot of guys would never go because they're afraid to go talk to men in this environment, because what would the church think if you showed up in that place? And you're like, they're as important as anybody, and you've been willing to go there. And all you guys listening to this that are willing to go in some of those places and meet guys and love them right where they're at, my hats are off to you. Jesus did it, and we're to follow his example. You know, when you're doing that, you really can't be thinking about what are the people at the church going to be thinking about me. You got to be going in and saying, I want to see these guys' lives changed. And some of you guys know how to speak that language better than others. So wherever that place is where you have contact with those men that they can trust you and relate to you, I would guess that's going to be at least a part of your purpose in how you're able to go and reach these guys. So I want to encourage you to do that. But Glenn, I read Wild at Heart in around 2000. John Eldridge's book was probably the top-selling book, I think, a men's book of all time. And we knew he was doing these retreats in Colorado, so we went to the very first one to kind of see what it was about, if we wanted to do it with our men's group at the church. We went back 2 more times. We went 3 times. And what's really funny is the very first time we go, you have to, like, put in for this drawing, and there's, like, 400 men. And if you don't get drawn, you don't get to go. Well, that wasn't going to stop Glenn. I got drawn. He didn't. And he says, I'm still going. I'm like, dude, you're going to get in trouble. He goes, I'm trusting God on this. So we fly to Colorado, get a rental car, drive 3 hours to this place. And they're checking us all in. I give them my name. They give me my packet. And they say his name. And he says, you're not going to, or no, they don't say his name. He goes, you're not going to find my name in there. They said, why is that? He said, well, I didn't get selected in the lottery. And they said, oh, well, you can't do that. I'm sorry, but you can't be here. And one of the other guys who was with the Wild at Heart team, he's passed on now. His name was Craig. He kind of says, come with me. And Glenn, he's dressed in all black cowboy hat. And if you know out in Colorado, you have a lot of occult stuff and witchcraft and things out there. And they were warned that there could be a couple of guys coming that were going to try to, like, infiltrate this camp and cause some problems. So they take him to the side and they interrogate him. And when they were done, they gave him a big hug and they said, well, we're going to let you stay. We're glad you're here, but don't you ever tell anybody we let you do this. But it was his faith. And sometimes we're going to be called to go places where we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what to say. Trust God. Trust the Father. Let him lead. He's got a plan. All we have to do is we've got to show up, you know, for what we're called to do. But identifying the guys like Glenn's that are in your church men's groups or guys you know that you think could really be leaders of men, it's important to get those guys on board, because it's going to be those key leaders you're going to find that are going to help draw their friends and bring them in. And that's one of the keys to growth in men's ministry. You got to do the things that they can relate to, that causes them to have that, you know, that passion, adventure. But you also have to have those men that they respect and are willing to reach out to them and get into their world no matter what. It's got to be a safe place. Let's see here. You know, and those men, again, they have to understand their identity. So I can't tell you guys enough, when you're working with your guys, identity, identity, identity. I say that all the time. The most important three words that I can give to you is identity, identity, identity. And remind your men that they do have what it takes because they have Christ in them and that he has a purpose. There's a song I wrote a long time ago. It was called Ride the Waves. And one of the lines in the song says, a ship is always safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are for. You know, we can go to church and receive Christ, but it wasn't meant to be contained. It was meant to go out of the building. And sometimes that going out of the building is what brings people back into the building. And the building is not about the relationship with Christ. It's a great place for community and to learn about God, which is so important. But that Christ in you was not meant to be put in a box. God made you in a certain way. You relate to those guys that you're speaking to. That's your circle, and that's where you're going to be called because they're listening to you. So I can't say how important that is. So kind of bringing this back to the end of this podcast, really it's going to be about, we want to see you grow. And with the Unleashed Men, that's the website, you know, you can get on there and you can find, you know, this podcast is called Unleashed. This is free. But go back and go onto the website at unleashed.men and you'll see the Unleashed Plus. And we're going to be putting up stuff now to go along with these videos and audio recordings where you can grow. You can use them in your small groups. Because a lot of guys are going, I don't know what to do. I'm not a big reader, or I don't know where to look. We're going to try to make this real easy for you. You can take these podcasts, and I'm going to be putting questions and little videos with the questions so you can just sit down and listen to this stuff and go through it together. And the other thing is, if some of you guys have questions, you don't know how to put some of these men's events together, what do I do? I've done literally hundreds or thousands of these events. So give me a shout if you're wanting to put one of these things on, and I absolutely will take the time to help you walk through it, to know what to do, to be able to reach these guys. You know, everything from the food preparation, the way that the room should look, what do we do with the response, how do we reach out to them, and afterwards, there's just a lot. And if you haven't done it, I know that to have someone come alongside you is really going to help. So let me just finish up with a quick story at the end of this. And I told you about the accountability groups that were forming after I spoke that one Sunday morning for the breakfast before I was doing the church service. But at the end of that church service, there was a man, and I think I might have touched on this in an episode a long time ago, but it's so important, I want to bring it back around, that there was a man who was on the, I think he was on the ushering, head of the usher committee in church, and his wife had caught him looking at pornography. 2 days before, on a Friday night. And she had gotten in the history and found this stuff. And so he was let go from the ushering team and whatever his position was there with the church. And at the end of me speaking in that service, the pastor came to me and he says, this guy that I just told you about is in a room in the back of the church, and one of our elders is speaking to him. Could you go talk to him? And I said, yeah. So I go in, and when the other elder was done, I kind of just shut the door and sat down, and there happened to be like I don't know if it was a whiteboard or a blackboard, but I noticed it, because a lot of times I like to be able to draw things because guys are visual. It really helps. And he was crying. And so I finally sat down, and I looked at him like I do with almost every man that I sit down to who was broken. And I say, first of all, I don't care what your sin was. I care about what you were thinking or what you were believing that made you think that was the right thing to go do. And in this case, like a lot of guys, you know, get stuck in porn is so addictive. And I said, what made you think, you know, basically that this was the right thing to do? And so we're going through this stuff. And he was feeling so much shame. He goes, you know, my wife's kicked me out of the house, you know, told the girls, told the in-laws, told the church. Now I've been let go. I'm so humiliated. And I said, all right. So I got up on this board and I wrote down advantages and disadvantages. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me the disadvantages of what just happened, you know, over this weekend. He said, well, that's easy. He says, I've been kicked out of my house and I'm not allowed to come back until I get help from my addiction. I said, all right. I said, give me another one. He said, well, my wife does all the cooking. I have no idea how to cook. I said, all right. So I wrote it down. I don't know how to cook. Give me another one. Well, she shops for everything. I don't even know where to begin to find stuff on the shelves. Okay, I don't know how to shop. Give me another one. He said, I'm totally humiliated after what just happened this weekend, you know, being let go and all that. And I said, okay, I am totally humiliated because of my sin. That's all right. That's probably enough. I said, give me some advantages now to what happened. And he said, there aren't any. I said, wait a second. You said you have to go get help for your addiction. And I think you just told me that you have an appointment set up for Wednesday to start your counseling, right? So is it a good thing or a bad thing you're going to be getting help for your addiction? He goes, well, I guess that's a good thing. I said, okay, advantage. Moved it over to that column. I said, is it a good thing or a bad thing that you don't know how to cook? Advantage. I get to learn how to cook. I get to learn how to shop for food. He said, but what about the last one? I'm totally humiliated. And I said, then let me ask you, is it a good thing or a bad thing to learn how to walk in humility? And he just looked at me and he goes, how did you just do this? He says, it's a good thing. I said, yeah. I said, you were just buying into lies. And so, guys, this is the thing that you need to understand is, first of all, does God care about your sin? Yeah, because he knows it's destroying your life. But he also knows he's going to redeem it. He has redeemed it if you're a believer. But you have to be able to learn how to untangle the lies that you're buying into that the enemy is holding you back with. And you have to find a safe place to be able to go and talk and confess what's going on. Because if you try to hide it, the enemy's got you right where he wants you. And you're going to stay down. Fear, shame, condemnation. You're never going to be free. If you really want to be unleashed, like we've been talking about with these podcasts, and we want you to be free, because you're going to be a part of the resistance when you know your identity. Remember that when a man knows who he is, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good because he's been unleashed. Guys, we've got your back here as much as we can. Send us some emails. We'd love to hear what's going on in your life. And if you want more information about the Unleashed Plus or how to host some of these men's events, again, go to unleashed.men, reach out to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Your strength is needed. And keep being the tip of the spear. You are loved. We'll see you next time.